Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. Today we're joined by James Jacobs, co-founder and co-CEO of Ziva Dynamics. Welcome, James.
Hi, Allison. Thank you so much.
I'm really excited to have you on the program today. I think that a lot of our listeners may not know exactly who you are right now, but they've seen your work. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and talk a little bit about Ziva?
Sure. My name's James. I co-founded and co-CEO of Ziva Dynamics. We're a software company which was started in 2015. And our focus is we create software which makes it possible to create realistic, compelling characters and creatures. And the goal of the software is to be able to deploy them in real time and for interactive experiences. Prior to starting Ziva Dynamics, I spent more than 20 years in the visual effects animation industry. The bulk of that time was spent at Weta Digital in New Zealand, which is the company partially owned by Peter Jackson, and worked on a number of the films that went through there, including Avatar and King Kong, stuff like that. My time there sort of culminated in the Science and Engineering Academy Award, which was awarded in 2013.
Congratulations on that. When you look at all of the things that you have accomplished in your career, what was it that you learned through that experience that led you to co-found Ziva Dynamics and deliver a new capability to all of the folks engaged in animation?
When you're working on shots in a film, the focus is really directed towards the needs of the specific shot. And the way that things are financed, so it's difficult to take a step back and determine what the general solution is underlying all of these shots. But on larger scale projects, like particularly Avatar, it was very advantageous for us, Simon Clutterbuck and I. Simon recently joined Ziva. We had worked on figuring out an underlying approach to solve the needs of the characters and creatures in that film, and we managed to deploy them in a way which allowed for higher quality at scale. And that's something which really resonated with me. And when we started Ziva, I saw that there was a clear market need for something that met those sorts of needs, and then also to be able to extend it to not only be able to create creatures and characters at scale for film deployment, but there's a whole bunch of blue sky opportunities in different market sectors that could benefit from that.
Where are we today in terms of the tech that's available, and what are you delivering with Ziva Dynamics that provides new tools and capabilities to filmmakers?
So if we look back at films that were made 10 or 15 years ago, breakdowns of how visual effects were performed were very common, and it was a huge part of the marketing strategy for a lot of visual effects companies at the time and, you know, up until today to sort of show the underlying approaches that were undertaken in order to create these films. But since the final product for those companies is an image on a screen, there are liberties that can be taken. I mean, the technology in some respects may only need to get you 60% of the way there, and then the remaining 40% is done by brute force. They'll build out their teams with enough bodies in order to complete the shots to a certain quality, and you're really only concerned about seeing it from a certain camera angle. But where things are changed now is with the advent of new mediums, things like AR and VR, or in video games where the quality of the characters is being compared directly against what people are seeing in the movie theater. But you have the freedom of being able to choose which vantage point you want to view the characters at and what things you want the characters to do in an interactive setting. The underlying technology actually needs to be much more robust now in order to meet those demands. The character still needs to look as real, even though up front you haven't necessarily anticipated all the things that the character itself might be doing. Where we are now is we're at a place where we can deliver things at the quality of what you might expect from a film, but it is truly, to a large part, a technological innovation. It is a fusion of technology and art, but the technology can then allow the innovation to be interacted with.
This is something that has been called out as something that's really critical in terms of enabling animators to develop lifelike characters in terms of muscle and skin simulation and really get the anatomy of a character very lifelike. One question I had for you is, I know that you're utilizing some AI techniques in terms of accomplishing that. Can you tell me about how you're applying it and how that is an advantage in terms of the overall goals of giving this technology to more folks? from across the industry?
Yeah, definitely. We're applying machine learning in a couple of parts of our company. The place where it's most obvious is how we deploy our characters in real-time setting. We spent a lot of time and effort working on perfecting our physics solver. So we have a really high-quality physics solver that can faithfully reproduce the behaviors of anatomical tissues. And you know, if you pose a character in a certain pose, we can reproduce in a plausible way what, if that were a real person, what that person would look like in that pose. And this is a fantastic way to generate training data for a machine learning process. One of the biggest challenges when you're working with machine learning is marshaling your data. I mean, if you look at the cost and expense it takes in order to accurately represent human populations or to do any of the interesting stuff that you're seeing now online with face swapping and stuff like that, that's only possible because now there's vast amounts of data that can be mined for that sort of purpose. But for the sort of work that we're doing right now, having high quality full 3D scans of entire populations is not as easy to come by, especially if you want to consider them moving in completely novel ways, doing lots of things and interacting with their environment or their clothing or stuff like that. It ends up being something which becomes very untenable to acquire from a real world scanning standpoint. But if you lean on computation and allow your physical simulator to synthesize that data for you, it's really a perfect way to feed a machine learning process. So talking to the second pillar of the company, if we imagine there's three primary pillars that we're built on, the second pillar is the real-time solution. So what that does is it takes all this high-quality training data, which we've been able to synthesize with our offline physics solver, and be able to produce a character which, within certain tolerances, shows the same quality as that offline character, but is now interactive. So that's where the bulk of the machine learning work that we've been doing this past year is focused on making that part of our technology stack better. And then the third component is taking your template anatomy and then being able to fit it to your population data and then be able to essentially up-res something from a low-frequency, low-fidelity representation of an external body and try to infer what their anatomy might be and how they would deform realistically given those sparse data points.
Now, I know that you've been working with the Intel team to not just deliver the software to customers on Intel processors, but also make sure that you're getting as much performance out of those processors as possible. Can you talk about that process and what you've been able to achieve?
Yeah, we've been working closely with the team in Portland, and they've been super helpful. We've been doing lots of benchmarking on a server that they gave us as part of an engagement we did with them. And we've been able to continue to optimize our physics solver against the hardware. And because marshaling the data is such an important component of this whole machine learning process, and it's one of the most computationally expensive pieces of what we do, there's huge gains for us if we can optimize that process as much as possible. And all of our underlying software is written against Intel APIs. So we're using Intel's math kernel library for all of our linear algebra. And we've been able to continue to iterate with the team there in order to specify areas where either we're experiencing certain bottlenecks and they can, for our specific use case, work on helping to grease the wheels, as it were, so that we could get better scalability on our software.
You also were at Sundance earlier this year talking about the technology and what it brought to independent filmmakers. Is this the disruptive moment, do you think, where we break through that concept that great animation needs to be the multi-hundred-million-dollar blockbuster movies and we can see animation emerge in independent film?
If we haven't hit that moment this year, we're pretty darn close to it. Some of the stuff which we're going to be able to put in the hands of independent filmmakers this year are technologies which hasn't even been accessible to the most resource studios. You know, so even if you had $500 million, a lot of the things which are going to be available for independent filmmakers this year are things that they wouldn't have even had. It's a pretty amazing time from that experience, like the idea of being able to do virtual performance capture where your final assets are a very, very close approximation of what they're seeing on the performance capture stage. So the director can iterate and view through their simulcam what the final asset essentially would look like when they're framing their shots and stuff is a huge win. And that sort of capability is going to be able to be put into the hands of independent filmmakers.
Fantastic. Well, James, I've had a lot of really impressive guests on Chip Chat before, but never someone that has been an Academy Award winner. So it's been a delight to have you on the show. One final question for you. I'm sure folks are interested in learning more about Ziva Dynamics and what you're delivering to the market. Where would you send them for more information?
Our website, zivadynamics.com.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for being on the program today, and look forward to seeing the great work that you're driving with all of those customers to deliver incredible experiences for us all.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.